Chippy?
You are listening to the one and only Visionaries Wrestling Network, envisioning excellence and providing your perfect podcast experience.
This is Banned from Ringside.
Tonight on the Banned from Ringside podcast, WWE changes up its Money in the Bank format. We talk about the Wednesday Night Wars and part one of our brand new series called the NXT Do-Over. That and a whole bunch more tonight on the Banned from Ringside podcast. Jesus Christ. Ditch that 9-to-5. It's time to feel alive. Hello, Mark. So welcome to the Banned from Ringside podcast. As always, I'm your host, Bill Vagie, a.k.a. the Bench Smark. And over there in University City, St. Louis, we have Jason Cornelius Bell. How you doing, JCB?
Allow us to bow our heads as I read from the latest edition of the Banned from Ringside podcast, volume 152, chapter 3, verse 14, and the good Smark saith, hashtag boo the heels. It is all good, baby. Listen, share, subscribe, repeat. Shout out to my girl, Becky Balboa. I love you, babe. Shout out to my man at The Real TTR15. Thank you for your help this week. I appreciate it. Give my man a follow on Twitter. I'm looking forward to this NXT do-over breakdown because Truebeard said this is the first time he's seen it. I haven't seen it since. I watched it very back when it first came out. I can't speak for Bill. So, yeah, I'm looking interested on the perspective from everybody looking at this for first time for Zach, maybe repeat for Bill. I know it was repeat for myself. I'm interested to see everybody's perspective when we were talking about how a crowd affects the show. I think Full Sail was definitely affecting this show in a couple of different ways. So I'm looking forward to that breakdown.
And over there in the 618, we have two beers. Zach Pullman, what's going on to here?
Not much, man. I'm really enjoying this podcasting from home thing. I mean, right before this, I just got done throwing a load of laundry in the dishwasher, in the washer.
And, okay, I was going to say, what? Never mind, can't call the time yet.
And I've just been spring cleaning and staying sober and eating salad. I'm like down like 25 pounds. Like, I don't even recognize myself. This shit's weird.
You really fluctuate. You've always been that way, though.
It's all like sodium. I just eat like the worst fast food ever, and I just like store all that water. And then as soon as I start eating clean, you just lose all that water weight.
You're like Christian Bale. It's like you went from the Vice to the Machinist.
Oh yeah, for real. Like, I'm working on it. The only difference is like that dude's getting paid.
Yeah, right? Yeah, that's right. But I mean, you're getting paid. You know, you're getting healthy is just as good as getting paid, isn't it? Maybe not.
Yeah, like right now I'm like Andy Dwyer, like Parks and Rec. What's his name?
Chris Pratt.
Chris Pratt. Yeah. So like I'm working on Guardians of the Galaxy. Only like I ain't working out. I just ain't doing it.
I'm coming at you from South City, St. Louis, in my basement, which I've cleaned and redone. Like I said, can't wait for you guys to see it. So I think we talked about this last week, and I know that there has been some, you know, you might not have been able to find us where you usually find us the last few weeks. Hopefully we get all that squared away, so we appreciate you guys sticking with us.
No, we should be good to go, my friend.
Because there is not a whole lot of wrestling going on, and because, well, I mean, the wrestling's going on, but it is strange with it being no crowds. We decided to go back to the best crowd, which is Full Sail University for NXT TakeOvers, and we started over at the very first one, NXT Arrival, so we'll be getting to that later. If you haven't seen it lately, you can either listen to it and then watch it, or not watch it and then just listen to us talk about it, maybe go back and watch it, or you can pause it right here and go watch it and then come back and listen to us. Either way, I am looking forward to it. As Jason said, I don't think I've ever watched NXT Arrival. I mean, I started watching some of the NXT takeovers, but this was way before it was must-see television. So looking forward to getting to that. Before we get too far into it, Jason, why don't you tell us about F&B Eatery?
F&B Eatery on the corner of 3453 Southampton, the home of the best hamburger you may not ever heard of. Locally in St. Louis, this is the place to be. If you're looking for a smash burger, go on down, swing through, check out my boy Mike. He is doing curbside service like most of people are doing nowadays, just trying to make things get by from point A to point B, keeping us safe and keeping us fed. Like I always say, go on Facebook. I know they have some set days of operation, but in these uncertain times, those days have changed. The hours have changed. So that's always a good way to keep up to date. So if you're out and about and you're thinking about swinging through, follow them on Facebook, follow them on Twitter, follow them on Instagram, all at F&B Eatery, F&B Eatery, the corner of 3453 Southampton and Marquette. Tell them that Fan from Ringside sent you.
Let's get to that 3 count.
1, 2, 3.
JCB, what's the 1 count?
Quietly, as we mold away from WrestleMania, we're on the way to crowning another Money in the Bank. We've had some qualifying matches over the last couple of Raws and SmackDowns. I'm sure we'll talk about that in a second. But I think the bigger issue, and one that I know myself caught me off guard when I heard it, the format for the Money in the Bank has changed. Apparently, we are going to start either outside or inside of the ground floor, I believe, at Titan Towers, and proceed to fight our way up to the top, to the roof, where a ring awaits and the briefcase where the Money in the Bank contract hangs in the balance. Okay. I'll start with this. I understand that it's a difficult time to make these matches. I will say that the cinematic matches that they made with Firefly Funhouse and the Boneyard match, in my opinion, were both good. To each his own. I can't speak for anyone else that didn't like it. That said,
he's heating up.
I kind of have a problem with this Money in the Bank format because I think it's in a scenario where you don't need to do it. Trying to do something that you don't have to do for the sake of doing it just doesn't make sense. The format is simple. Climb the ladder, grab the briefcase, everybody walks away. I don't think this is a reason to have this to be cinematic just because I think we're trying to ride that wave of the fans like this, so let's do it again. The Money in the Bank is simple. It's about the briefcase. I don't think it has anything to do with the peripheral around it. It's about the characters going in. If Sasha wins and she wins the Money in the Bank, now she holds that over Bayley. To me, that's more, I guess, intriguing versus how we get to that point. I think this is WWE trying to recreate the wheel and trying to run on something that is hot for them at the time, which makes sense because we always give them credit or we always give them shit for not striking when the iron is hot. But I think this is a scenario where you don't have to recreate the wheel. The concept is simple. Keep it simple. I don't even care if you want to put it on the roof, but don't have them fight up to the roof to get to the roof and then fight for the Money in the Bank. Keep it simple, stupid, is always was what my granddaddy used to tell me more times than not. I think this is just one of them times where they just need to keep it simple, stupid, and just have a Money in the Bank match.
All right, so Jason's shitting on it. That's a big surprise. Zach, what do you think?
No, I'm not shitting on it.
I'm going to reserve judgment because I was shitting all over WrestleMania before it happened, and I was like pleasantly surprised with a good amount of it. So,
but that's not good pod. Don't reserve judgment.
That's not
judge it.
But I'm gonna reserve judgment like on like the gimmick and like the match itself. But what I will judge is just the fact that they're even doing it. Like, I don't need Money in the Bank right now. Like, I don't care about Money in the Bank right now. I barely care about wrestling right now. It's just like we're not required to have this like distraction. Like, I don't even appreciate it. Like, I'm over it. Like, I can watch tens of thousands of hours of wrestling that has existed and that is better than what's going on right now. I just don't need it right now. So, I mean, I'm just going to keep standing on that soapbox. And that's what I'll judge, is the fact that they're doing this and it's just all about money. It's not about people. It's not about fans. They can say they're trying to put smiles on people's faces, but they're trying to put more Benjamins in Vince McMahon's wallet. That's all it is. And that dude has enough. It's just, it's enough. That's it. So, like, I'll watch it.
Yeah, and I'm gonna still watch, so take that, Vince.
Yeah, but I'm gonna pirate it like always.
Okay, so Zach's shitting on it. That's another big surprise. I guess I'll get somewhere right in the middle of you two guys. I mean, I'm gonna shit on it. No, I'm not gonna shit on it. I'll say this. Jason kind of stole my thunder there, because I'm of two minds on this. One, the Money in the Bank ladder match is my favorite match of the year. I like it more than the Royal Rumble. I mean, when it's done correctly, I do. I mean, it's a better match. Now, Royal Rumble as an event is more fun, but as a guaranteed barn burner of a match in WWE, you're not going to get anything a lot more clear cut than the Money in the Bank match. That being said, so why are they fucking with the formula? You know, don't fuck with the formula. Just give us the eight men in the ladder match and have all the spots and do it in front of no crowd, which we're on the record as saying sucks, but I mean, it is what it is. However, the other way that Jason stole my thunder was that, if you guys didn't listen to our WrestleMania episode, it was one of our best ones. You guys should really go back and listen to that one. The Bray Wyatt John Cena match at WrestleMania was fantastic. All three of us were on board with that one. I think it was across the board. All of us loved it. The Boneyard match, some of us loved it more than others, but it certainly was good. I mean, it was better than expected. It was better than we expected. Better than I expected it to be. Mm-hmm. So, WWE getting creative with the Money in the Bank formula and having this thing where they're going to, I mean, do they just take an elevator? Who knows? I mean, but there can be a bunch of fun spots in this. And it can be, I don't know if they're going to do it cinematically. I hope they do. I hope it's not a repeat of the Randy Orton Edge match at WrestleMania, which was one of my biggest disappointments in WrestleMania history. I'm actually, yeah, I mean, I said it. I mean, that match sucked. And I was hyped for that match. But I'm cautiously optimistic about this Money in the Bank match. I mean, I'm interested to see what they do. Hopefully they get to the roof and it's still just a ring there, and there's three or four guys get up there and they still have the ladder match with the ladder spots. I mean, I don't know what it's going to look like. They're probably already filming it, to be honest. But they are having those Money in the Bank qualifying matches. Do you guys know how many matches were on Raw Monday night?
I'm going to guess and say five.
Zach, I know you didn't watch it. Do you want to guess how many?
No. I'm going to guess 3.
11.
Wow.
There was 11 matches on Raw the other night. 11 matches on Raw. When's the last time there was 11 matches on Raw?
Yeah.
And a bunch of
get people to watch.
No, it's because it's 11. I mean, it was 11, you know, 7 or 8 minute matches.
Yeah.
Whew,
that's wild.
Way off the weed.
You probably watched it too, didn't you, Jason? I mean, most of them were pretty forgettable. I mean, but they were Money in the Bank. I'm a little pissed off that Mysterio beat Murphy for the Money in the Bank qualifying match. I would much rather have Murphy in there. Aleister Black beat Austin Theory to get in there. Nia Jax beat Kairi Sane. I believe Nia Jax has a, yeah, I know. what the fuck is going on.
Jesus Christ,
Apollo Crews beat MVP. Apollo Crews is going to be in the Money in the Bank. Apollo Crews, one of the best athletes, one of the most athletic guys I've ever seen in a wrestling ring. So I'm glad that he got it. Early thoughts on who's going to win the Money in the Bank ladder match, Jason?
I got to go on Nia Jax for 30 seconds because you brought her name up, and I'm sorry. She's a liability at this point. You know, this is the third woman she's hurt. Okay. And I get it. The size is her marketing ticket.
Did she hurt Kairi Sane?
In the buckle bomb spot towards the end of the match, is various reports that either Kairi said, no, or I'm not set. Nia did it anyway, buckle bomb towards on the bottom turnbuckle. And I'm not saying that Kairi's concussed, but basically she was hurt in that spot.
Wait, wasn't Kairi Sane the one that Charlotte Flair almost killed too?
Yeah. Okay.
Jeez.
So,
poor gal.
She's also the second most talented woman in WWE.
Next to Io Shirai?
Yeah. And it's just ridiculous.
You're not even entertaining Charlotte in the top two, huh?
No, Asuka would be number three.
Zach has a type.
Japanese fetish or anything. Yeah. No,
just early thoughts on Money in the Bank. Good for Apollo Crews, God damn it. I mean, he ain't going to win, but, you know, MVP getting in there,
he's heating
I think
up.
Would have been a problem. So I guess that's why Rey Mysterio gets in instead of a Murphy. You got Apollo Crews, so you got to have Rey Mysterio for some name power. Aleister Black feels like a good choice from what we've seen so far.
I'd like to see him win it.
I want to see who it is first before I want to see the feel first before I jump on board. Baron Corbin, I know, has a qualifying match this weekend on SmackDown. So, I mean, it's ways to play it. I wouldn't mind the Aleister Black. That would make sense. I want to see what the SmackDown side brings. I think Daniel Bryan has already qualified or has a match coming up. Daniel Bryan is always a safe bet because you can plug him in, plug him out, God forbid.
Daniel Bryan qualified against Cesaro the other night.
Okay, there you go. So it's a couple ways you want to play it, but I want to see this first before I say this is the person I'm hitching the wagon to just yet.
Zach, any early thoughts on who's going to win, or do you just want to abstain from this?
Sorry, I had to duck out for just a second because I felt like my wife was burning my house down, like smoke alarms are going off, and you might have even heard it, like it was outrageous. But so anyway, I'm going to take an early guess and say Triple H.
You motherfucker, man. You make this no fun, Zach. I will say that when the smoke alarm was going off in your house, though, I did play the drop, he's heating up. I know you guys can't hear it, but... That's pro
That's
stuff,
great.
Guys.
That's
pro
great.
Stuff.
Is
Triple H a thing?
Well, they're just doing this big tribute to him.
Right.
And, like, I feel like it's like it would be like his. Like, I feel like, you know, they want to bring in this nostalgia, and he's like really the only dude who's like fully, like, legit, like, in shape and like ring ready and also a big enough star. And I mean, they had Lesnar win it last year, right?
Yeah,
last year was when Lesnar won it.
Yeah.
So it's just like they just got to ruin the gimmick anyway. And that's like the worst possible thing I could think of. So I figured that would be what they would do.
You know what? Every time I get this sure of something on the podcast, I always end up being wrong to the delight of our many, to the light of our many fans. There is no fucking way that Triple H wins Money in the Bank. There's just no way.
Okay, see, don't put that shit out there like that.
There's just no way.
Oh, my God.
Jason, do you think there's a way?
Yes. Yes. Just because he wins it doesn't mean he's going to win the title. But there is a way.
I'll say this. There's a 0% chance 0.000% chance that Triple H wins the Money in the Bank.
Now, with next week, when we come back, and God forbid, Triple H is in this match, I can't look at you like the way I want to look at you under normal circumstances. But you know that Jason look I give you when you say some shit you ain't got no business saying.
I know what
that's the look I want you to have in your head when this shit happens.
I'm familiar with it. Sure.
Okay.
Any other thoughts about Money in the Bank before we move on to the Wednesday Night Wars? Okay, cool.
I think we're good.
Two count.
1, 2, 3.
Two beer. What's the two count?
Once again, I forgot that it was Wednesday. So, like, I watched Guardians of the Galaxy with my kids last night, and then I got a tweet notification that BFR Pod said, which show did you like better? And I'm like, oh yeah, there was wrestling on tonight. So I watched it super late. But I started out with AEW, and it's super cool, like, video package of Cody. He was like, control center.
It was awesome.
Like, he was like Dr. Claw from Inspector Gadget. Dr. Claw had like a metal arm and a cat, and like Cody has like a bad neck tattoo and a dog. So that's like the main difference, but it was still really, really cool. I loved it. It was really great. And then we had basically like the tournament. Like, those are the main things. There was a really good quote unquote squash match with Kenny Omega. He made like a local indie guy look great. They had a pretty good
match. Alan Angels,
yeah, I couldn't even remember his name.
He did. There's no reason for Kenny Omega to make that dude look that good, except that he's a cool dude.
Yeah. Super generous.
He could have went out and squashed that dude.
Shawn Michaels in his prime, like, who had the ability to make anyone look good, and would absolutely never have done that. Absolutely not.
We'll get to Shawn Michaels when we get to the do-over later. But, I mean, that was really cool. And even Shivani said, Angel is getting a little bit more offense here than I thought he was going to.
Yeah, and he had some cool offense. It was pretty neat.
Yeah.
I think the real, like, show stealer, Darby Allin and Sammy Guevara, I think I've said this before, like, these guys, along with Jungle Boy, like, these guys are going to be, like, their next generation. Like, they're going to be fighting and wrestling for a long time, as long as they stay with this promotion, as promotion does well. But they are kind of, like, career rivals, right? They could be. They have the potential to be. And this was just awesome. There was a really sick ladder spot that you just got to see. It looked like it just hurt. Bad.
Yeah, I mean, it looked like the ladder should have been gimmicked and wasn't.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
It
gave none.
It gave nothing.
None.
I was on the Zoom birthday party last night with my wife. We were sitting on the couch and we had the computer facing us, as I'm sure all the listeners and you guys have been a part of a few of these. And so me and all my friends from college and high school, we're all turning 40, so it's every birthday's a big deal. So I got AEW on in the background, and so there's like 20 people on this Zoom thing, and everybody's talking at the same fucking time, and it sucks. And then that spot happened, and I was like, "Oh my god!" And everybody's like, "What? What?" And it's like, "Oh, what? What you say, Bill? What? Oh, what?" And I was like, "Ah, never mind."
Baby, don't mind people. Just grown men jumping on another grown man with a ladder underneath. No
exactly. Go ahead, Zach.
Yeah, move along.
It was totally worth watching. Dustin Rhodes managed to not retire. He said he was going to retire if he couldn't beat Kip Sabian in the like quarterfinals of this tournament, and they had a solid match, like just a good wrestling match. There was some interference, you know, but it wasn't never really any big concern that Dustin Rhodes was going to retire. I didn't really see that as a possibility. But there was also some stuff that was not wrestling that was really enjoyable, namely a excellent Matt Hardy promo where he started out as Damascus and broken Matt Hardy. And then he's like, well, maybe you should, if you can't understand this form, this Damascus, what he's trying to say to you. Maybe we should just have another forum speak to you. And then just Matt Hardy, you know, just cut like a legit promo on Chris Jericho, like just a normal like pro wrestling promo, just sitting there with his hair slicked back. Super cool.
I loved it.
And another very entertaining episode of The Bubbly Bunch. So this was like, this was like a good wrestling show. And I'm not even saying it was good in within the circumstances. Like, this was a good wrestling show.
Yeah.
I
and
liked it.
They also had that Scorpio Sky vignette that was just kind of like introduce the audience to Scorpio Sky in case he didn't know. And it kind of told his whole story, where he came from and the injuries and the hardships that he's faced and yada, 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 all that good stuff that makes it look like a real sport, you know? And that was also really well produced. So between the Bubbly Bunch, the Cody thing at the beginning, the Matt Hardy promo, and that Scorpio Sky, those were four really well-produced segments that I didn't skip over a single bit of it.
There was also a really good MJF promo, like, in a few weeks.
Oh, I guess I missed
Brody
that.
Lee thing.
Oh yeah,
MJF like stood in front of a big house, and I think it said it on the thing. It was his rat's house, which is really funny. And basically, he was talking about how he had been tweeting about how he was injured and how he's going to have surgery, and he's basically talking about how brave he is and how terrible life is right now. Essentially hinting towards the pandemic, but then he's like, "It's because I haven't wrestled on Dynamite in weeks." He's like, "But I suffered a tremendous injury. I got a hangnail while I was throwing money, gambling with Sean Spears." He's like, "But I persevered for all of you people, and I will be back." And it was really funny. And then Brody Lee had I guess there's a new guy, Preston Vance. Brody Lee, another homage to Vince McMahon, basically asking this guy, "How tall are you? How much do you weigh? Have you played college football?" And the guy was like, 6'4", 240, and yes. And he's like, "All right, you're in," basically. Like, just
it was
they keep this going.
Well, not only that, I mean, in Cody's thing at the beginning, he also said, "How can you be future endeavored if you don't actually endeavor?" It's so there is, while I do like the shoot stuff, and I do like the what's a good word for it? The little digs at WWE. I almost wish that they pivot away from it a little bit.
Yeah, I think it's kind of like it's subtle enough that it's not like overt, so that it's really just like the smarks that like really get it and really love it. And they're really playing to like their base in that regard. But it's like, it's not so overt that it would like turn people off, like where there's like finger pointing or like overt mentions of like what's going on the other show or something like that. Like, so, you know, if this was the Monday Night Wars, Eric Bischoff would know what was happening on the other show because they're all taped and he'd be spoiling it constantly. So it's just kind of a little bit more implicit than explicit. So I don't think it's too much. And maybe it's just because I enjoy it so much, because it's just what we do is the same thing. It's just make fun of this shit. So,
I mean, I'll push back on that a little bit, just by saying that was a little bit different of a situation, because they were equals at that time. Whereas AEW is trying to cut its own thing, and it almost looks like sour grapes. But your point is taken. Jason, what do you think about AEW Dynamite?
No, I was going to say, I was just going to piggyback on what you guys were talking about, because when I was watching it, I watched it second. I watched NXT first. When I watched the two segments we're talking about, Brody Lee and Matt Hardy, I came away thinking the same thing. These are shots against WWE. Whether you, how vague, well, not vaguely, but veiled shots or just straight overt shots across the bow. At the end, yeah, it was great, but Bray Wyatt and Matt Hardy felt like that was kind of one and the same, because it started off as broken Matt Hardy, came into Matt Hardy by the end of the segment. With Brody Lee, it's everything that Zach said. And then on top of that, when old boy was typing the first sentence on the computer, he said, "I thought I had the whole world in my hands." And immediately I thought about Bray Wyatt. So, I mean, if I'm thinking it, and I could care less about either, you know, who wins this big war, I know sides who are like invested in it are really thinking it. So yeah, I kind of agree with what Bill is saying. Ultimately, it's getting to the point now where if I'm catching on to it, it's happening a little too much. Yeah, you could take shots on somebody. Hell, I came up in an age where, you know, we talked about your mama, like, if, you know, if that was getting up and waking up for breakfast. I mean, you just got over shit like that. This is a scenario where it's getting to a point where you're doing it too much. We need to just kind of, you're going to take shots against your old employee. I get it. But doing it every week is getting to a point where now I'm losing the message from what Bray, I'm losing the message of what Matt Hardy is supposed to be saying, or Brody Lee is supposed to be saying. I'm tripping off the fact of, oh, damn, they just did it again. So, I mean, I thought the show ultimately was a great show. It's better than what we've been getting before. And I think it's because of the content of what we got versus they were doing something that they've done differently.
Now, listen, just because I'm an asshole, I'm going to... I'm going to push back on that a little bit too, because Bray Wyatt wouldn't exist if Broken Matt Hardy, or Bray Wyatt and The Fiend wouldn't exist if Broken Matt Hardy didn't exist. I mean, one of them's, so to say that like Matt Hardy's kind of piggybacking off of Bray Wyatt, or which was basically the gist of what you were saying, that's not really the case.
I'll just say it like this. The way they, obviously, Broken Matt Hardy came first. The Broken Universe came first. We can all agree upon that. The way they presented it this week, the week on Friday, it's Braun Strowman versus Bray Wyatt. So you have a queer, you know, drawing of the line of here's Bray Wyatt and then here's The Fiend. So fast forward to Wednesday, that's what it kind of felt like that was starting to happen here. They're starting to draw the line of here's Broken Matt and then here's Matt Hardy. And I'm not saying it's right or wrong. It's just the way that I interpreted it. That's the way, that was my takeaway from it.
Sure. What I'll say also to play devil's advocate against myself, because I'm an asshole, is as much as I think intellectually Brody Lee should probably stop trying to make fun of Vince McMahon, because it's enough. You know, we get the point. At the same time, if you were really pissed off at an ex-boss and you got a job on national TV and you had the opportunity to just make fun of him for 4 or 5 weeks in a row, you'd probably take it too.
And they deserved it.
And they deserved it. So, I mean, and he's a billionaire who, it's not like you're punching down, you're punching up. So, in that respect, Godspeed, Brody Lee.
Yeah, I would be lying if I would say I would take the high road in that scenario. I've been fired
on
multiple occasions.
I know you'd be lying if you said that, motherfucker.
I'll be good goddamn if I didn't have a chance to be like, oh, you remember this time, boss man? Oh, you don't want to talk about this shit, right? Yeah, I mean, I would be lying if I did not say a part of me totally gets it. But then the other part of me is like, man, this looks like, you know, WWE shit. So, yeah, I'm not sitting up here and knocking what AEW is doing. I find it funny, ultimately, but I find it also ironic as well.
Yeah, I get it. Let's move on to NXT. Zach, why don't you give us your NXT rundown?
NXT was different. It had a little bit of a main roster vibe in the sense that it started out by not delivering what was promised. Like we expected Velveteen Dream versus Finn Balor. That was the build. And then they opened the show. And
did that have
Finn
something
Balor's
to do with
like nowhere
the,
to be seen.
Yeah. Did that have something to do with like a green card issue or visa or something, or was that just straight up, they're not giving us what they promised?
I don't know. Like,
I was gonna say, I've been looking around. I looked on Twitter, I looked on Facebook. I haven't seen anything up to where Finn Balor was unavailable. So I'm chalking this up as kayfabe style.
Kayfabe style. Well, then that's bullshit style. Go ahead, Zach. Well, sorry.
Style.
Yeah.
So,
he said that's bullshit style. I guess I don't know. It doesn't make sense, but I guess it ultimately fast-tracked us to the main event and what happened at the main event. I won't step on Zach's toes.
Yeah, well, that's another thing. It's like it set up a main event, like, which is like very like Raw, like where it's like there's a talking segment. It's like, oh, we're not going to do this, but now we're going to do this, and we set up this,
yeah,
you know, tag team, which is it's just like every Raw you've ever seen.
Yes.
So
and SmackDown.
We had and SmackDown. It's just like what they do. Then we had a pretty good women's tag, Shotzi Blackheart and Tegan Nox versus Dakota Kai and Raquel Gonzalez. Like, I dug it. Like, it was nice to have some, you know, good tag team women's wrestling. That's not super common. But then it started to get weird again. They had Drake Maverick versus Jake Atlas. And in storyline, Drake Maverick is fired. Like, if you're firing people like during this situation and still raking in millions of dollars in profit, like enough dividends to pay everyone you fired this quarter for 4 years, like, is it really a good look in storyline to show that, yeah, we're letting this guy go and have him crying on television? Like,
now,
that's weird to me, man.
Hold on a second, though. Like, isn't it, like, part of it that Drake Maverick, I mean, because Drake Maverick cut a promo after that about how he wasn't good enough to be in WWE and how he knew that he wasn't good enough and how good Jake Atlas was. I mean, Drake Maverick had to be in on that, right?
Oh, yeah. I mean, had to be. Like, that's the thing. It's, like, it's a total, like...
So is it possible that it's working us?
I have no idea, but like if it
it's possible.
Like,
it's possible. I'm not even gonna put that off the table. It's totally possible.
It's always possible, but at the same time, like what? So like everybody's fired, but Drake Maverick? Like I don't. It's stupid. That's so stupid. Like I just think that if they're firing him, like just be done. Like just be done. Like don't play it in the storyline and just remind people how like evil you are, because Drake Maverick is not like a no talent hack. Like.
No, he's actually great.
Yeah, it's just really weird to me. And
like Rockstar Spud and EC3, sorry to cut you off. Rockstar Spud and EC3 had a tremendous feud back in 2015 in TNA.
Mm-hmm.
It was really good. And Rockstar Spud was cutting great promos as an underdog main event babyface. I think the Drake he's also a really good pest comedy heel. Like he's a very talented guy, so I guess I just cut you off to agree with you. Go ahead.
But yeah, like it's just weird to me. Like, and then it also got weirder again. Like, this is just a weird show to me, because we had Jake Atlas, who, if you're familiar with him from like his time on the indies, like he's like a legit rising star. Like, this guy's gonna be somebody, and his whole gimmick is that he's gay, right? And he did his finishers like the LGBT DDT or LGB DDT. I don't know the acronym, but you get the idea. And he had like rainbow trunks, and he's like mega talent. And his whole thing is that he's like this young, outwardly gay performer, right? And there's
something like Sunny Kiss from AEW.
Yeah, but like a more masculine version, right?
Okay, no, I'm just kind of putting it in my head.
Sure, yeah, and he's got like a very kind of like rabid fan base because of who he is, and he's like an actual trailblazer, like in that sense, and he has a lot of people that support him, and he does this promo where he like hints at all of that, but it's almost like he's not allowed to actually be gay. Like, they changed the name of his like finisher, like, you know, they're really toning down, like he doesn't have like the rainbow trunks or anything. And he's like talking about being a trailblazer and talking about overcoming like adversity and like celebrating diversity, but they never like actually say like what that thing is. Like, if you know Jake Atlas's story, you're hinting at it, but the whole idea is that you're trying to introduce this brand new young guy. So like, can you not just come out and say like what his gimmick is, and it, like not even gimmick, like just like who he is, like introduce us to the person. It was just super weird. It's just too WWE for me.
For what it's worth, Two Beer Zach Pullman just called homosexuality a gimmick. I mean, I'm just putting that out there. That's what Zach said. He called it a gimmick. I believe he said it was a choice in there too. I wasn't listening. I wasn't listening the whole time. I'm just kidding.
I did like the match. That said, and then after that, we had the best match on the show, which was Kushida versus Tony Nese.
It rules.
Because Kushida rules.
Yeah. Tony Nese ain't
really
bad
nice
either.
To see. No, he really isn't. Like, he's a good hand, you know. A little foresight to later on in the match.
No, you did not.
Had a promo with Matt Riddle, Timothy Thatcher, and then what do we got here? Oh, a vignette with Candace and Johnny, which I really enjoyed.
Like, I did too.
More stuff like this, please. You know what I mean? Like, if we, you know, this is like entertainment. Like, this is good.
Man,
like,
the cup on the damn table.
Oh yeah. That was good.
I also liked Gallagher versus Phantasma.
Oh,
yeah,
shit.
I mean, I thought I kind of had higher expectations for that match because they're both so good. I was like, Gallagher's got cool new tattoos. That was something that I did not expect. I was like, have I not seen him in a while or are they new? But I think they looked pretty fresh. And El Hijo del Phantasma, I think I said that right, is super talented. Funnily enough, like they won't push these international stars who don't speak English, but this guy speaks 100% English, like fluent, and then they have him do promos in Spanish. Like,
exactly.
I just do not understand this promotion sometimes. Yeah. Like this company. Like Jesus Christ. Anyway, that's NXT. It was a decent show, but like it just had some good wrestling, it had some bad wrestling, it had some weird storyline stuff. I didn't love it. Like AEW wins for me this week. That's not always the case.
Not always, but AEW was fucking great this week.
Yeah.
Jason, thoughts on NXT before we get to part one of our NXT do-over?
Yeah, I think we kind of buried the lead where Velveteen Dream pins Adam Cole in the main event to probably set up their main event. Well, not their main event, but their title match coming up somewhere down the line. You can kind of see this one coming. I've been saying it on Twitter for a while that the Undisputed Era is in decline, and I think this is more of a reason to think so. Mia Yim and Charlotte, when Tubira said that Kushida was a good hand, Charlotte also said that Mia Yim was a good hand. And I was thinking
Tony
myself
Nese.
When she no. When Charlotte came, Mia Yim came
out. I know what you're saying.
Okay,
I know what you're
okay.
saying, but I was saying I said Tony Nese.
Tony Nese. Okay, whatever. But I mean,
because she doesn't.
Ultimately, what I'm getting at is the last person that said that another person was a good hand had a chair wrapped around that person's head. That's where I was going with that because I'm like, damn, yeah. Everybody's throwing around this good hand compliment. Somebody needs to have a chair wrapped around their head. Anyway, Charlotte Mia Yim, I think, is going to be interested just because. Everybody thinks that Charlotte's going to run through the women's division, which is fairly likely just because it is Charlotte. But I think Mia Yim could give Charlotte a little problems, and that's really all I'm asking for in this sense. I know Charlotte's going to win, but I just want Mia Yim to give her some fits. Outside of that, the Cruiserweights matches were good. I piggyback on Two Beer with the Drake Maverick thing. If it is a work, then It's disappointing because you're putting this in you're making this a thing when it shouldn't be a thing. Just send Drake Maverick on his way and let's all move along. If this is a shoot, go ahead.
I mean, it didn't bother me at all. I thought, oh, this is kind of different. And, maybe they're like, hey, we'll give you a bonus here and we'll probably hire you in the
Okay.
It ain't your money.
Here's my question.
He's got a kid at home. New kid.
Here's my question. Okay. So here's my question. If you get let go tomorrow.
Yeah.
And they pay you.
Yeah.
But they're asking you to work the rest of the week. Are you going to work the rest of the week?
Dude, they've probably already recorded these. That's not the same thing. That's not the same thing at all.
Okay, well then
Drake Maverick doesn't work for one of the major financial brokerages in the country.
Okay, and then how about this? It's just not a good look. Okay, it's just not a good look. This has been a PR disaster on more than one occasion. So now you're gonna bring back one of the faces of the PR disaster and have a job? Come on, man. If he wins, then what? He's the interim cruiserweight champion. He comes back to Jordan Devlin. Then he has to win that. So either way, this is not a good look. Just let this man go about his business. If it's tape, he's already gotten paid for this shit. We're milking the cow for what? So we can have Drake Maverick as a great story? So WWE looks good? Get the fuck out of here, man. Don't fall for the bullshit.
Hey. Why milk the cow when you get Drake Maverick for free? Let's get to that three count.
One, two, three.
Okay, so we might have an intro drop for this in the near future, but we don't have it this week because it was a busy week at work. And I'm so busy, guys. Like, you guys have no idea how busy I am, like, on the weekends. Like, I wake up, I start drinking around 9:30 a.m. I don't take my first edible till 1:30 because I'm working so hard between 9:30 and 1:30. But we're starting the NXT Do-Over series here on BFR, and we started with the very first one this week, which was from February of 2014, titled NXT Arrival. From what I can tell, it's the only event ever titled NXT Arrival. And it was also the very first in-ring event carried live on the WWE Network. Let's start at the top here, boys, because that's really where we should start. The very first match, very first in-ring live match carried on WWE Network was Cesaro versus Sami Zayn. It really does. What you think of the match, Two Beer?
Loved it. It was the best match on the show. It was so good. And it was enhanced even more by the fact that the announcers actually put these dudes over hard, especially Cesaro. I haven't heard anybody talk about Cesaro that way ever in life, except maybe us.
Yep.
Like, they put him over like he should be. William Regal was so, you know, just laying down for this dude. It was so good. Like, I loved it. It was just exactly what you would expect from these guys.
24 minutes, phenomenal. 23 or 24 minutes, something like that. It was back and forth. They were kicking out of finishers, Cesaro was kicking out of finishers. JCB, what you think? This is my first time I've ever seen this match.
No, I was going to say, it's been a while since I've seen this match, so like I was kind of taking mental notes in my head as the announce team was talking, and Cesaro was on a hot streak at this point. You know, he had pinned Randy Orton. You know, he had a good showing in the Elimination Chamber. You know, he's been having a series of good matches or whatever the case may be. And then for like 30 seconds, I kind of got mad because now I'm like, okay, see, there you go. This is 2014, and you got Cesaro on this roll, and you didn't strike when you had the chance then. If this is going to be them being mid-card guys, okay, so be it. But that's another story for another time. The match itself, I thought, I agree with Two Beer. If it's not the best match, the main event was the best match. But the lead to this gave us this great match. The only thing I could say about it was, like you said, Bill, kicking out of the finishers. I'm getting to the point where it only should be done in special situations.
Yes.
What'd you say? Come to the dark side.
Come to the dark side.
WrestleMania, shit like that. Then yeah, all bets are off. But I mean, in this scenario, it wouldn't have been the worst thing to throw Sammy a bone. Cesaro and Sammy hugged it out at the end. So I guess that was basically what Sammy was looking for. It was about respect for Sami Zayn. So they hugged it out after the fact. But I mean, this was a really good match, if not the best match of the bunch.
Well, without giving away my star ratings, because we are going to give our star ratings on the big matches. There's a couple matches here where we're not going to give our star ratings. But I'll give my star rating here first. I've watched this match twice in the last week, once inebriated and then once not inebriated today while I was once inebriated and once on the clock. And I'm going to preface this by saying this. Whenever I watch a dunk contest, I always get mad when they give something. Have I said this on the podcast before? I'm sorry if I'm repeating myself. But every time I watch a dunk contest, I always get mad when they give something a 10 right off the bat because the guys aren't giving it their all right off the bat. And then they give them a 10, and then there's nowhere else to go but up, which is what Meltzer has done for a long time, which is why Meltzer has 7-star ratings. For the record, I will not be giving anything higher than a 5-star rating. I will respect Meltzer's system, even if he doesn't respect his own system. So, that being said, I'm going to give this match 4.25 stars.
That makes me feel better.
Two beer, what you got at it?
Whenever I was watching it, and afterwards, like, I was thinking just solid 4-star match. Like, so I'll stick with that.
All right. And JCB?
No, I agree with 2 beer on this one. I didn't want to give it a 5 off the bat. I mean, I can see where if you wanted to stretch it to a 5, if there was a title involved or something that had, you know, some stakes involved, then this would have been a 5-star match for sure. But everything thrown into it with no stakes on the line, I would say this was a 4-star match for sure.
Okay, let's move on to, Tyler Breeze versus Xavier Woods really wasn't anything, so we can just, it is funny to see those two guys wrestling each other. Did you guys have anything to say about that?
Brodus Clay Brodus Clay should be mad because Xavier Woods took his music and came down to it. That was my takeaway from it.
Well, he's on Fox News being mad, so fuck off, Brodus Clay.
Okay. Rusev was a nice, you know, squash portion of it. So, I mean, it kind of made me mad because now Rusev squashes Xavier and Tyler Breeze, and then I think about where he is now, and, you know, it just kind of pissed me off.
CJ Parker, a.k.a. Juice Robinson, makes a showing and gets beat by Mojo Rawley in 6.5 minutes. Thoughts on that, 2 beer?
This was the maddest I was the entire show.
It's funny that they went with Mojo after watching these two guys.
Absolutely. Like, when you look at, like, the potential, like, that's where this was, like, more of, like, a WWE show because, like, Juice Robinson has mega charisma and he was this weird, like, hippie gimmick. I guess they saw that he had dreads and, like, oh, we're just going to make him, like, a hippie, like a Woodstock hippie.
Yeah, he was Defender of the Earth type guy.
Yeah, they were like, oh, he eats processed foods.
Yeah. And, you know, that was weird. But he was, like, doing his thing. You know, like, he was trying to live up to the gimmick and, like, he was doing a good job with it. But I just didn't like the gimmick. And then I've never liked Mojo Rawley's gimmick because I'm not 4 years old. But
I just want to tell you guys
a good athlete.
Yeah, sure. I gave this match a N/A, not applicable.
Ooh, see, yeah. I at least gave it some points. I mean, good lord.
I would give it 1 star, but I'm gonna knock 0.5 star off because that's the worst finisher I've seen in like a year.
Can you give a star? Can you give a star rating to a 6-minute match? I don't think you can.
Yeah, one star. Man.
There's plenty of 6-minute matches that are great.
Yeah, this ain't one of them. This was a 1-star match. No.
In the 2010s? Okay, we had Emma versus Paige.
What was Emma's gimmick? Jesus, that was
weird. So you don't remember that at all because I had forgotten about it. Emma came up and had that weird dance that got the fuck over, where she would, like, put one arm out to the side, the other arm to the side, and then everybody at Full Sail would do it with her. Do you remember that, Jason?
Yeah, it was. And I didn't think it would get over, and it just, and for whatever reason, she got hot. And then, of course, once again, easy on the eyes, and she could wrestle. So this was one of those, like, perfect storm kind of scenarios where, in my head, I'm thinking there's no way this should work, and then it's working. And I'm like, okay, well then fuck it, let's give it a shot. Next thing you know, here's this match against Paige, who has kind of, you know, kind of won the title away from AJ Lee, so she's kind of, you know, starting to build her own little legacy. The match was good. I didn't think it was anything that we hadn't seen before. It was the first time we've seen Paige do the submission, the way it would end up being the Rampage. So that was kind of cool to jump back and see. Emma, I thought, did what you could ask for her to do at this point. She wasn't going to win, but she made herself look good. All in all, I gave this a 3-star match.
That's exactly what I have. I have a 3-star match also. There's a couple funny things about this match is because Stephanie came out and introduced it and called it the new generation of divas, which shows you how long ago this was. And the other thing is Tom Phillips, who looked like a baby on commentary, Emma did a power bomb, and Tom Phillips screamed, "Never thought I'd see that in a Divas Championship match, a power bomb," which shows you really how exponentially how women's wrestling in WWE has grown exponentially in the last 6 years. I also gave it 3 stars. I mean, there are much better women's matches to come on these NXT TakeOver events, but I thought for a 13-minute match, I thought it was great. Zach?
I had it at 2.5. It was just pretty middle of the road for me. It was cool to see them. Like I said, like I was not watching at this time, so it was the first time I've seen this. I actually kind of missed Paige's, like, most of her career. Like, I've gone back and watched, like, a little bit of it, but, like, I did not see this at all. Obviously familiar with Emma from more, like, current times. Started watching WWE again, like, when she was still there, but, like, probably around the time she got released, and then I watched her, like, you know, in the indies and ROH and stuff.
We walked by her at StarCast, and she was vibing me. You guys remember that?
I was getting ready to say, if social distancing was a thing back then, and I'd have had to give her the Heisman for you and just be like, look, back off.
Oh, no, she was vibing me, dude.
Now your boy over here,
no.
I'm not taking.
She's very, like, I saw her at StarCast too, and she's very short. Like, you don't really notice that, but she's very short.
Yeah. I was about to say, she could easily get lost in StarCast for sure.
She's also hot in person too. So
yeah, she's very, very good looking in person. It's not just a TV thing. We have about 5 minutes left. We can skip past Ascension versus Sky Duhati and Grandmaster Sexay, unless you guys have something to say.
1 star.
If it's 1 star, just don't even give it a star. That's what I say. The main event was Bo Dallas versus Adrian Neville in a ladder match for the NXT Championship. Bo Dallas had held the championship for 260 days, was the heel. Adrian Neville goes over Bo Dallas in, let's hear, what do you have to say, Jason?
This is when, I'll say it like this, the build was perfect. You had Bo Dallas having a long title reign, which you just don't have nowadays. Now here comes Adrian Neville, who's been nipping at his heels, can't get it done, so finally, it escalates into a step match. And usually the step match, the way when I was a youngster, you know, the step match was the end match. It was the match that would end the feud and we could all move along. So as this being a ladder match, this was a great way to end the feud. So Neville wins a match, gets the rub, and we can move along with Neville being the champion. I thought this match was a little underneath the Kurt Jerker with Cesaro and Sami Zayn, but still a 4-star match just for the simple fact that it took a while to get there. The title on the line elevated a little bit because I was going to give it 3.5 stars, but with the title on the line, I'll give it a 4-star match. But like I said, to me, the build for this match was better than the physical match itself, because the way you did it from that point on, it was basically handing the baton to Neville and let Neville run with NXT for a little bit, which he kind of did.
Zach, how many stars are you giving it? I'm running out of time here.
3.5 stars. It was nice to see Neville as a babyface because he's got that babyface moveset, and I hadn't seen him as a babyface like ever. But it was a lackluster main event as far as NXT takeovers go. But this is the first one. But it was fine. 3.5 stars.
Bo Dallas was grossly outmatched by Adrian Neville in terms of in-ring performance and also character work. I gave it 2.25 stars. It was just okay. I mean, the Sami Zayn versus Cesaro, obviously I liked it a quarter star more than you guys, but that was really fun. Let's do this again next week. Follow us on BFR Pod, BFR Bill, BFR JCB, BFR Zach with an H, BFR Lucha Chris on Twitter, BFR Pod on Instagram, and we'll let you guys know what takeover we'll be doing over next week.
This is Ban from Ringside.
The one is, I think it's NXT Takeover.
Tony,
why you playing?
Got some birthdays this week. Tony Atlas would have been 76. I think he's passed away. John Cena is 43. Dijakovic, friend of me of the show, is 33. Britt Baker is 29. Moose is 36. Kane is 53. Vladimir Kozlov is 41. I'll always remember him for winning the tag belts with Santino and holding them for a long time. Drew Gulak is 33. Titus O'Neil is 43. And Jay Lethal is 35. That's it. Hey, everybody. We know there's tons of podcasts to listen to. So we appreciate you guys listening to ours. For F&B Eatery.
Check.
For my cats and my dog.
Check, check.
For my wife who needs the computer.
Double check.
For Lucha Chris.
Check.
For Two Beer Zach Bowman. For Jason Cornelius Bell. I am check. Bill Vagian. Everybody, support your local restaurant. Support your local weed dealer. Boo the check, heels. Check.